This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book title is Love Must Have a Body. And joining me from California is author and lover of all things creative, T.L. Harper. Welcome, Terry, to the program.
Well, thank you for your invitation.
You have a very fascinating background. You have been involved in the music industry. You've been involved in church-related things. So this falls in the category of an extension of your creativity and also into what some would describe as maybe ministry extension. Would that be a good descriptive?
Yes. I mean, I did, for about 10 years, I did evangelistic work back in the 70s, did some songwriting, was with the Benson Company, and, you know, traveled to Europe and Australia and different parts of the world doing that, and some songs that had some notoriety.
Fabulous. So you have an accomplished background. Why did you decide you hadn't tackled writing or authoring and decided this book might be important for people to read?
You know, I wanted to do some writing for quite some time, and I had this idea, probably going back about 10 years ago, maybe even longer, this idea about, it stemmed from the scripture where in Hebrews where Paul is talking about the prophecy that said, sacrifice and offerings I would not, but a body you have prepared me. And I just started thinking about that idea that a body was prepared, okay, but why? What was the purpose of that? And as I made my notes over a few years and thought about this, you know, I was praying to God. I said, God, I kind of know where I want to go with this idea. I just don't know how to start it. And it ultimately mutated into this little epiphany of thought that said, oh, love must have a body. And the whole theme of why love has to have a body from God's perspective came into being.
And you use why statements to highlight the chapter headings. This is not a long read, 110 pages. How many why statements have you addressed in the book?
There are 20 why statements, and I deliberately made this book short because I believe that there's some provocative, insightful remarks in there that I wanted people to stop and think about. I didn't want to have a book that they read once and say, oh, that's nice, and move on. I wanted something that they would refer back to. And some of the feedback I've gotten from people that I had reviewing it as I was going along was that they have read it several times, and each time they read it, they get something new.
What was the most interesting feedback that you received of the why statements? I understand there was one that was a little bit unique, something about Adam.
Yes, I got several comments on why Adam left God for Eve, because the scripture tells us that Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing, whether Eve knew it or not. Adam knew that he was breaking God's law and knew what the consequences were. So why did he make that choice? And the book offers a sensible answer to that question.
Well, that's a provocative title. Why did Adam leave God for Eve? That certainly grabs your attention. The thing that you may have discovered when you began researching the contents for your book, of course, it is biblically based, so it is a religious book. Was there anything that surprised you?
It just, the whole idea in looking back at the Old Testament and the New Testament just reinforced this whole idea that God isn't someone who has love. God is love. You know, a lot of people look at God saying, well, you know, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. That's not his character. His character is love. That's who he is.
Is there anything that you would want people to take away from this besides the answering of the questions or the statements of why? There must have been some other motivation for you. Was there a desire to share something that was new and insightful as you began writing this?
Well, having traveled the world, I mean, you know, there's a billion and a half Christians. But for many, I found that they read the Old Testament and they say, oh, you know, yeah, okay, there's God of the Old Testament. And then they read the New Testament and, oh, there's a Messiah and he came to, you know, to forgive us of our sins. But I find in a lot of cases, they don't really connect the storyline dots of how this progressed and why did God choose the method he did? Why did he choose to come in the form of a man? And the book kind of offers that. I believe it kind of ties the storyline between the Old Testament and New Testament in a way that connects with humanity.
When you began to write this, how long did it take to put into print or get ready for print?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, I struggled with this, as I mentioned earlier, for several years of how do I start this and to get where I ultimately want to go. And I was praying, you know, Lord, I'd like to try to do this. I think it's time to start writing this. And I just need a starting point. And looking at my notes, one night it was late because I do things late, and it just started flowing. So the core of the book actually was written over a few nights. Obviously, I refined and refined and refined and added and edited and embellished here and extended there. But the core theme just seemed to flow over a period of several nights.
Describe the ideal reader of your book. I'm assuming that when you began, you thought, well, this book might be a great book for teachers or Bible students or people who are engaged with Scripture. Do you also think that maybe those who might be curious would find this, or maybe searchers or seekers, as they're sometimes called, would find your book enlightening?
I do. I think that, you know, I've had some friends of mine who are in the ministry say that they want to take the book and make it a lesson form to their congregations. But my heart also tells me that this book would speak to people who, is there a God? Isn't there a God? You know, does he know where I am? Does he really love me? You know, I've heard all these things. I do believe that it would speak to non-believers just as much as it would believers.
Is there anything else in the marketplace that approaches this complex subject in such a simple but easy to understand manner as you have outlined it?
Not that I'm aware of, and I at least this is the feedback I've gotten from different readers that, you know, this idea, short and simple, but filled with provocative, thought-provoking statements that really force you to sit back and meditate on what all that means. I believe that it's a book that will be fruitful for readers. I even believe that even the Jewish community would find this book of some interest, since it goes to their very core belief of God in the Old Testament.
Phenomenal. There must have been some challenges. You have mentioned to me that this is your first book, and I believe that perhaps there will be more in the future. Was there a challenge in kind of getting this together and ready for print? I noticed a lot of photos or sketches or artwork in your book as well.
Well, I wanted to have pictures that kind of drew the reader in. I just didn't want to have a book that just had text. I wanted them to at least look at a picture at the beginning of each chapter that kind of drew them in and give a context on what's to come. So I tried to do that to help the reader, the reader's imagination, you know,
yes,
come to life.
I love the section where you have outlined or have recounted the conversation that God had with Job, someone that is referred to a lot of times by individuals going through tough times. And, you know, there are some very straightforward back and forths in that. And I loved the seventh observation. And God speaking to Job says, have you ever ordered morning get up, told dawn get to work? What did you actually use a version of Scripture to do that, or did you just modernize it in conversation?
No, actually, I used several translations throughout this book because I found in reading and doing research, and I'm trying to speak to the common language of the reader,
right?
Not only here, but The book is also being translated into other languages. I wanted to have versions that depicted the idea rather than just these and thous. It's, you know, somebody's their eyes just kind of roll back in their head and they don't quite get it.
Right.
So yes, I've used a number of different translations.
Introduce your book to my listeners. If you were to meet someone on the street corner, or maybe in a well, we'll say a church setting, and they know that you've written a book titled "Love Must Have a Body," how would you describe that to them?
I would describe the book as bringing to light in a new and fresh way the whole storyline of the Old Testament and New Testament and why God chose the methods he did to communicate with man, why he made man, why he set the boundaries that he did for their protection, and how he went about to redeem man in his condition, to bring him back to him.
Right.
And the extent that he would go to do that.
I love the comments on the back from readers who have dived into the content. They have made some very nice statements about what this book represents. An amazing and impactful read filled with provocative truths. I found myself drawn to deeper spiritual meditation with each reading. That was Dr. Timothy Freeman. You have several others that have commented on your book. Where can my listeners get a copy of Love Must Have a Body?
Well, West Bow Press is the source. We also would be able to go on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and we're looking forward to maybe expanding that market to other sources like Facebook. And we have also its own site, Love Must Have a Body.
Excellent. Well, they can do a search under that name, Love Must Have a Body, and located this in print. And also connect with you. Again, the author T.L. Harper has joined me from California. Thank you again for joining me and sharing your story. And as we have discussed, there will be other books to follow if things continue the way they are.
Yes, I already have some others in mind that will be forthcoming.
Fantastic. Well, best of luck with this book, and I would recommend it to anyone that's in a situation where they either are teaching a class or are doing Bible study, or if they're just curious about somebody's opinion of who God is and how he relates to us and how we should relate to him. This is a book that will benefit them. 110 pages, so it's an easy read, filled with good references and certainly conversational style. Love it. Again, the title, Love Must Have a Body, author T.L. Harper. Thank you, Terry, for joining me today.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
My pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing, West Bow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors. All quilters, just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff and find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us because we know that quilting changes everything.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, West Bow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book's title is God's Grand Design for Health. And joining me from near Denver, Colorado, in the United States of America, is Dr. James Darnell. Welcome, sir, to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
This is a book that is not a difficult read, 130 pages or so. And the title, obviously, is pointing towards some other intervention in our health besides just eating well. How did this book get written, sir?
Well, I've had a passion for teaching this stuff for pretty much my entire career. And as my career evolved, I realized that what I was doing in a clinical setting and educating patients and talking about this stuff is not enough. It really is clear when you look at the data that we're not doing well enough, and our health is suffering because of it. We're not doing well enough in teaching how to prevent disease. And that's really how this book came about, is that after 20 years of practice, I realized that I needed to do more, and the book is very much about prevention of disease rather than curing illness, and goes pretty in-depth, but from a layman's point of view, into lifestyle and how lifestyle influences the health of the cells, and goes pretty in-depth as well into explaining how toxins that we're exposed to, as well as foods, different foods that we eat, affect the body and affect the health of the cells. So it's a teaching tool more than anything else.
And your area of practice or expertise is in chiropractic. That is an area that, rather than traditional medicine that always goes, you know, patching up the sickness, you try to do the preventative side anyway as far as your practice, correct?
That is very correct. Chiropractic is as much about healthy lifestyle as it is anything else.
And you've mentioned in the title God's grand design for health. In fact, Jack Canfield, whom I have visited with before, who is also the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul and others, has made very fine comments about your book, saying this book will teach you a new concept about health and wellness and the primary factors that erode our health. And he called it a powerful book. Why is the God element important in how our health is affected?
Well, after you deal with the body for long enough, you really come to understand that the body we've been given and its amazing intelligence is not by chance. It is definitely by intelligent design. And of course, me being a Christian, I definitely say that, not shy about saying that it's God that designed our bodies, and that includes the ability to maintain itself and to heal itself after illness occurs.
Your book has a chapter about the observations about the United States and other countries. What do you notice about the health of people of the United States, and are they healthier than other countries, or do you find them actually heading on a path to maybe more sickness?
Well, I definitely find that the health of the American population is on the wrong path. We are definitely declining. And if you read the book, you'll realize that I have cited a pretty extensive list of medical references in the course of the book. And I like to say that those medical references are written by some of the smartest minds, medical minds, that we have worldwide. And the thing that you're going to realize is that as we really study the statistics, the health of our nation, and I emphasize the top 10 leading causes of death in the United States very heavily for a reason, because in spite of years and years of research on heart disease and cancer, we figured out how to cure, especially cancer, many forms of cancer. But it's creating other problems as well for our healthcare system, because we're living longer with the diseases themselves, which adds to the overall cost of caring for them.
It's incredible. My wife and I have traveled to Europe on several occasions, and we, in doing a little bit of reading, have found out that many of the additives, many of the food types that are in the United States are not allowed in European countries. They are banned, and yet we have embraced them, the chemical additives. My wife, who has some digestive issues in United States will go to Europe, say France or somewhere else, and be able to consume the same type of food, at least by let's say bread products, and it not affect her over there. It's very unusual that for some reason our health system and our food system, our food chain, has disintegrated into poisoning our bodies. Are you finding that as being something that's pretty pretty well received?
Well, I think it's well received once people understand and know the power of the different additives and preservatives and things that are toxins that we're exposed to. But that's the thing that, as I've talked to patients and people, I've found that people really don't have a concept of literally how much and how many toxins we're exposed to. There's a reference in the book that cites that basically says we are, on the average, exposed to over 3,000 different toxic chemicals every day and every year, and many of those chemicals can actually be analyzed and filtered down and are found in umbilical cords as they've analyzed them. So even infants in utero are being exposed to these toxins.
Wow.
So it shouldn't be any surprise that we have babies that are born with diseases right out of the womb. For example, insulin resistance and diabetes. So
it's an amazing fact of life that some medical professionals, and I have I will call them the traditional medical professionals, have a very I don't know how you would refer to it. It's, I would say, a damaging view of how to take care of people. I have one medical professional that I have visited. He is obese, overweight, in very bad physical condition. And he did some blood testing on me and said my cholesterol was high. I needed to be on statins. I have interviewed over 1,600 authors in the course of what I do. And one of the doctors that I had interviewed had come out against statins, saying that those on statins may die of heart disease, but it's never traced back to statins. So I told the doctors, look, I will control my cholesterol with diet. And his response was, you'll never get your cholesterol numbers down. You're going to have to be on statins the rest of your life. Well, of course, I did not follow his directions. The next blood testing that was done, I had corrected my diet, and my cholesterol numbers had dropped to within the normal range. Is that something that you have run into a lot on your side of the equation?
Absolutely. The paradox of being a chiropractic physician is that we are not licensed to prescribe pharmaceuticals, but we have to have an understanding of pharmaceuticals, because every patient anymore that comes into my office or any chiropractic physician's office is on medication. So we have mm-hmm. to be able to recognize when a person is having side effects, for example, from a drug. And just now that we're on the topic of statin, yes, one of the most common prescribed drugs that there is on the planet, and one of the common side effects is joint pain. Well, that's right what we deal with.
Mm.
So we have to be, we can't recommend to take people off of the medication, but oftentimes we have to work with the medical physicians who prescribe those pharmaceuticals to oftentimes either change the drug, reduce the dosage, or adjust things accordingly in the benefit of the patient.
Certainly a needed bit of advice for anybody that is experiencing health issues. One of the major chapters, or main chapters, at least from my perspective, because I'm acquainted, it seems that once you hit a certain age, I will say over 50 to be kind, the diabetes flag pops up quite frequently. I myself and many of my friends in my same age category have all of a sudden been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. What is your recommendation there from your perspective, or what is your observation from your perspective on how to get that under control without the use of meds, or is there a way to do so?
Well, the number one recommendation, not only just in type 2 diabetes, but really any type of illness, healing of the illness or maintaining a healthy body, is we have to reduce the amount of refined and processed foods that we are consuming. And the reason is that it's all sugar.
Yes, it's true.
We are consuming way too much sugar, and that sugar is so stressful to the body that it creates an inflammatory condition that destroys the cells and literally destroys the cells' ability to digest and process that sugar. Hence, it causes the type 2 or type 1 diabetes.
Would it be proper to assume by looking at your book that there's hope for folks who may have a chronic illness if they just change their diet?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've had patients in their 70s and 80s that come in the office and they can't even climb a flight of stairs because their health is so poor, whether it's joint pain or other diseases or conditions. And after adjusting their diet and getting on a wellness program of spinal adjustments and exercise and things that we all know that we should do, but we often don't do them. And after they complete that program, they're able to climb the stairs and go out and play with the kids and actually have a healthier lifestyle as a result of it. And the side benefit oftentimes that we see is that many times they're able to reduce or discontinue their medication.
Beautiful.
Well, that's a win.
Absolutely.
Not only for them, but that's a win for society, because the cost of many of these medications is just unbelievably high.
Yeah, in your notes you have mentioned a patient by the name of Joe. Is that a fictitious or a kind of an assembled descriptive of some of the patients you have visited with?
Yeah, I obviously had to change the names, but the actual cases that I mentioned are actual cases within my career and the span of a 20-plus year career in chiropractic. So yes, I have experienced this stuff firsthand and have a very tremendous passion for teaching about it, and so much so that I think I drive my wife crazy.
Well, she probably has your diet under control, hopefully. What is your hope for your book? What do you want to accomplish with it?
Well, I just really want people to be able to read it, and hopefully in the course of writing it and editing and everything else, I've written a book that's understandable, that the layperson can pick that book up, read it from cover to cover, and even if they don't understand all of the terminology and don't understand the complexity of it, they get the general point that my health is something that's under my control, and it starts with my lifestyle. It doesn't start with the pills we're taking. It starts with my lifestyle, the diet that you're eating, the exercise that you're getting, how much rest you're getting, the stress you're under, all of those things that are under our control. And once you understand that there's a problem, you can make adjustments accordingly to improve those things, and it will make a tremendous impact in improving your health.
Well said. The title of the book, again, is God's Grand Design for Your Health. My author, James Darnell, D.C., Dr. Darnell, where can my listeners get a copy of your book?
It's available through my website, www.jamesdarnelldc.com. It's on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, many other Christian websites. I don't have those in front of me, but you can actually Google the title of the book, and my website will come up, Amazon. Not many people that haven't shopped at Amazon, so you can get it through just about any of the major online retailers.
Excellent. And Darnell is spelled D-A-R-N-E-L-L. James Darnell, D.C. Well, thank you, sir, for joining me today. They can order it from their local bookseller, also by the title of the book, God's Grand Design for Health, and under your name. So thank you for joining me today. Are you planning a follow-up book by any chance?
Yes, that is in the works.
Well, I kind of thought it might be. Thank you for sharing your story and sharing this very important information for my listeners, and I would recommend that they get a copy of it and get better health underway by changing their lifestyle. Thank you again for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing. And we'll be right back after these messages. Girlfriend It is on TuggyNet. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central. With your hosts Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan. This show is your chance to share, learn, laugh, and connect with other women. The Girlfriend It principle was born out of loss.
Lisa had recently had her mother pass away from cancer. And my mom was murdered. A man just walking into a room and started a 23-second shooting spree.
I think one of the things we both realized going through those tragedies that you can be extremely okay and be extremely sad.
Check out GirlfriendIt.com. And then be a part of Girlfriend It, the radio show. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
You know, your boyfriend or your husband or whatever, they don't totally understand that emotional side to a woman like another woman does. And I think that's so important just to have somebody that you go, she gets me.
Check out the website, girlfriendit.com. Don't miss Girlfriend It with Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book title is A Silent Cry, an amazing true story about life after death. And joining me from the Northeast is author Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today, Mike.
Oh, good morning, Jay. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, this is a tough book in some ways. If I were to internalize this and wish I would never have to write it, I would be on that side of the story. Tell me a little about The Silent Cry, or A Silent Cry, and the background and why it was written.
Sure. Well, I say that I'm a man who's a member of two clubs that no one ever wants to belong to. That is a father who has buried a child and also a husband who has buried a wife. This book came about based on a series of miracles, extraordinary events that I experienced and lived through. After the passing of my wife, it occurred within about a 24-month period after she passed away.
Mm. And she died under, I won't say exactly mysterious circumstances, but very troubling circumstances. There was an infection that just wouldn't go away. How did that come about? Do you in reflection think of what caused it and why it was such a heart-wrenching and family-changing event?
Well, right. She had an abdominal infection, and the trauma team saved her life initially in a surgery. And that was in fact a mystery. They don't know what the root cause of that is. I think her system was worn down, in any event, it was obviously sudden. She died at age 49. It's just a sudden occurrence. One day she's here and then she's gone. But, in hindsight now, in relative to the book, I think what happened is, she left too soon, and these series of miracles that are recounted in the book are really her coming back to say goodbye as God permitted.
And you are a person of faith. Your family is a person is a family of faith. You have a strong anchor in your hope for the future, and also your relationship with the Lord. Those are very key ingredients in the telling of this story, which for most people who don't have that anchor, it would be a story of tragedy and probably despair.
Yes, sir. Faith and family. And, you know, my situation is just reminds me, I, you know, the saying, I don't know how people get through life without faith. I mean, this life can be very difficult for many people, and on a lot of different levels. People, every day, bad things happen to people on this earth. And it's tough enough when you have strong faith and belief in God. And I just can't imagine how people survive it sometimes without that core faith and belief and trust and hope.
Absolutely. And I'm sure one of the first questions that would have come to my mind is, where do I go from here? The book A Silent Cry came out of this family event. Why did you feel you needed to write it, and what inspired you to put it to paper, the gut-wrenching occurrences that impacted your family?
No, that's a really good question. I didn't start out writing a book. I mean, what happened was there were a series of extraordinary events, extraordinary to the point that I wrote them down in a journal, and that's all it was. It was, you know, something amazing happened and I wrote it down. I've always been a note taker and a writer. I wrote it down. And then over a period of time, as I said earlier, the duration here was about 24 months after the passing of my wife. You know, the journal started to fill up, and there was I noticed that there was a pattern here. And then it just, on reflection, I think, you know, God put it in my heart that, you know, these extraordinary events, these miracles, it deserved to be told, deserved to be shared. You know, I consider myself to just be a regular guy. There is nothing special or extraordinary about me. You know, I'm a single father now, raising three children. Many people are in that position. But you know, these events are what's extraordinary, and that's what the book's about. I hope people will read it and see a little more closely what I'm talking about, some of the miracles that happened. Truly amazing. So I thought it was compelling to share them.
Mike, would you consider maybe sharing one of them, or one of the things that really got your attention that you thought, you know, this is not typical?
Yes, certainly. Well, an easy one to relay in an interview would probably, there's a chapter called a Call from Heaven. And what happened, I was sitting at home about 5 o'clock in an evening. I had about 30 minutes before I would go pick my son up from football practice. And so I just sat in the family room and put the local news on and was just sort of killing time, because he would call when the practice was over. And our landline is connected to the television. So when there's an incoming call on the landline, the number flashes up on the television screen and it gives you the caller ID and it gives you the number itself. Mm-hmm. So I'm just sitting there watching the local news, not, you know, semi paying attention. Incoming call comes in, and flashing on the screen was Teresa Adams, my wife's name, and our home telephone number, 412-655-1984. Well, that was an incoming call on our landline.
Extraordinary.
And I sat straight up, and I know what I saw, and I just stared at the television, and it rang, and it rang, and it rang, and then it stopped, and then, of course, the number and her name disappear from the screen. And I just sort of, it was a surreal moment. I just sort of shook my head, like, I know what I saw, but, you know, I'm a skeptical person. I thought, well, wait a minute. There's, you know, so right away your mind starts thinking, well, there's got to be some explanation for that. And then I thought, you know what? We have caller ID. I bet you the call is not on caller ID. So I jumped up. I went in the kitchen. I pulled the phone up in there and scrolled. And sure enough, there it was on our caller ID, Teresa Adams, 412-655-1984. And so that chapter's titled A Call from Heaven.
Incredible. This and other stories are certainly unusual over the last few months or several months since the passing of your wife. What is the purpose of writing the book? Why did you want to share this story? What is the purpose behind it?
Well, as I say, you have to believe in a miracle in order to receive a miracle. I think miracles happen every day. I think many people experience them, but sometimes perhaps don't recognize them as such. And so the real purpose, Jay, in sharing this story is that, you know, these miracles recounted in my book really happened. I mean, it's a true story. I lived them. And so really, it's a story about faith, it's a story about heaven, and it's a story about miracles. And that's really the purpose in writing the book, is to say to people, look, this is reality, you know. The heavenly realm coexists with us here on earth. It's closer than we think a lot of times.
It is a mystery, and I will say this, right, listeners, the writing is very conversational, easy to read. It's a straightforward account of things that happened. You have also highlighted perhaps something else that happened, a surprise Christmas ornament. What is that referring to?
Yes. Well, we have two little traditions in our family. Every year on vacation, the kids would pick out a Christmas ornament and a inexpensive Christmas ornament at a Christmas shop. And over the years, we collected a lot of Christmas ornaments. And then the other tradition is to put the Christmas tree up the weekend after Thanksgiving. So the year of my wife's passing, which would have been the first Christmas that she wasn't here, we were putting up the Christmas tree, and you know, there are scores of ornaments, and there was an ornament, and it was an angel ornament, and it said number one mom, and I believe it was my daughter Ashley who pulled it out, and somebody said, where did this come from? And nobody recognized the ornament. And then I started racking my brain. I thought, well, did I buy that? You know, would we have bought that previously? But then, no, that didn't make any sense, because it was an angel ornament, and there's no way that you know, my wife or me would have bought an angel ornament while she was still alive. And then nobody remembered that summer, the first summer she wasn't here, buying the ornament. So then I asked the daughter Ashley who found it. I said, you know, call your godmother, who was my wife's best friend, and ask her if she bought that. And she did, and she didn't buy it. So the Christmas ornament, you know, origin unknown. Although, you know, in our family, we viewed it as in faith as a gift from heaven, and it miraculously appearing with all of our other ornaments, an angel ornament that said number one mom.
The story is heartwarming and certainly inspirational. What advice would you give someone who has gone through a recent tragedy and feels like giving up? Has that ever passed or come across in your family that you just wanted to give up?
Don't give up. You just have to go to God and pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Ask Jesus to help you. And I believe that any of us who do that will be helped and will be saved. Never give up. It's easy to, this life throws a lot of bad things at people, and you want to give up sometimes, and maybe that's the easy way to go. But again, we're back to your faith is a lifeline. And however people, it's very personal for people. So whatever way that they recognize and acknowledge the Supreme Being, trying to stay close through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, whatever way that people can hang on to that faith lifeline, that's the answer. That's the only answer, Jay, that I would humbly give to people.
Well, it's beautifully put. And whether you're a person of faith or not, this book will inspire you. The title, again, is A Silent Cry, an amazing true story about life after death, author Mike Adams. Mike, my listeners need to get a copy of this. How do they do so?
Oh, well, thank you, Jay. The book is available on through the publisher, that's Westbow Press, and it's also available on Amazon. It's also available through Barnes & Noble. So those three primary outlets, if you Google any of those three, I Silent Cry, Mike Adams, it's easily findable. Thank you.
Fabulous. You also can request it from your local bookseller. They should be able to obtain a copy for you as well if you choose to go that route. Thank you again, Mike, for sharing this very important work that you have completed. And again, it's a good read just from the conversational standpoint and inspirational from the content. Thank you again for joining me today and sharing your story.
Well, I appreciate the kind words about the book, Jay, and thank you very much for your insight and understanding of the book through the interview. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mike. For Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing. Join us again next week at noon Eastern.